For love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Those are the words of the Master. And He loved us so completely, as we just heard in the song. He was willing to give it all because of love. I desire your prayers this morning. It's been a little while since I stood in this place. My little burden this morning has to do with self-examination. Self-examination, kind of a subtitle, the Lord's Supper. As I was meditating and studying on this topic, these two just kept melding together. When I first was looking at it, I was thinking more in the direction of the self-examination. But I think that there are some important things in the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, where I feel that too many times people miss out on the blessing of partaking in the Lord's Supper because of the language that is so strongly spoken there in 1 Corinthians 11. I would want every one of God's children to feel the liberty to partake of the Lord's Supper. It is a precious time. It's a time of recognizing, honoring, commemorating Christ and His death, all that He did for us. It's a time of partaking, as the Scripture says, and we'll read in just a moment, the representations of His body and His blood through the juice and the unleavened bread. It's recognition of what He did, and it's also embracing it all, and it is partaking of it. It's more than just a ceremony. It is actually entering into some things with Christ. It's solemn. It's serious. There's no question about that. But it's something that I feel too many people, out of fear, decide to not partake of. And I would like to try to assuage that a little bit this morning, if at all possible. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 20, beginning. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. One is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. What had happened here in Corinth is the people had, they had just gotten themselves mixed up in some false teachings. They had incorporated the Passover meal, the Jewish tradition, with the Lord's Supper. They had a feast. They had a feast where they brought food from their own homes and they came together, and the rich had plenty of fat food and plenty to drink, and the poor had little. Well, I said here, one is drunken, one is hungry, one has plenty, one has nothing. This is not the way to approach the Lord's Supper. There were some penalties that came because of the way that they handled this type of service. But the Apostle Paul was not commending them. He was trying to tell them, this is not the way. This is not how you approach the Lord's Supper, where you have a big feast beforehand, and then you try to enter into this solemn ceremony, where you have gorged yourselves on these fat, fine foods, those of you who can afford that, and but those of you who cannot, who are poor, you sit and watch while those who have plenty eat and you have little, and you have your meager portions, and now you enter into the Lord's Supper. Verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also, He took the cup when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Now right here is where I believe fear begins to creep in to the mind and the heart of those who have scruples and have concern that they may be entering into it unworthily. The Apostle Paul is trying to lay out the some guidelines here. To do it unworthily. Verse 28 says, but let a man examine or test himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation. Now there's the word that will cause many a person to skip an ordinance service, the Lord's Supper, because of that one word, eateth and drinketh damnation. Now, I will allow to you that that's a strong word. But as I have studied in the commentaries, writers, there is indication that that word was not such a strong, didn't carry such a strong negative connotation then as it does today. But it was the word actually means a judgment or a decision. If you and I approach, if we were to approach the Lord's Supper from a standpoint of being very nonchalant about it, having approached it first from gorging myself on the finest and the fattest, and then feel that I'm going to come into an assembly where we're going to sit down quietly and we're going to have a celebration of the Lord's Supper. When just moments before, we were having a gay time, a wonderful time. We were filling ourselves and gorging ourselves and having the finest foods, and we were having us a feast and a party, and now we're here in this moment where we're going to change direction and we're going to have a solemn moment of the Lord's Supper. What the Apostle Paul was saying to these folks is, you approach this in the wrong way. You approach it from a standpoint of, you've got it all backwards. Yes, there's times to be thankful, and yes, it's appropriate for you to observe this ordinance. It's right for you to do that. But the way that you're going about it is all wrong. They weren't approaching it from a standpoint of real humility, from a real standpoint of sobriety and seriousness in their hearts. But the Apostle Paul says, let a man test himself. Let a man examine himself. And then let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation or judgment or a decision to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, I'd like to read a little clip from Adam Clark's New Testament commentary. Those who acknowledge it as a sacrificial offering and receive it in remembrance of God's love to them in sending His Son into the world can neither bring damnation upon themselves by so doing, nor eat, nor drink unworthily. Let me repeat that. Those who acknowledge it as a sacrificial offering and receive it in remembrance of God's love to them in sending His Son into the world can neither bring damnation upon themselves by so doing, nor eat, nor drink unworthily. Now I ask you a question. Did you hear the words to the song that was sung just before I got up here? Did you pay attention to the words of the story of what Christ did, His heart of love? And the reason He did all of those things was because of love. And the reason the stone was rolled away from that grave was because of love. If those words echoed in your heart and brought something to your soul of a recognition and an honoring and an appreciation of what God has done for you, then you would be able to eat and drink of the cup worthily. Because you recognize, you realize that the only way that this man can have salvation would be from the Master who gave Himself, was willing to give His body and shed His blood. If I recognize that, and if I honor that, and if I put that in its proper perspective in my life, then I am able to eat and drink of the cup of the Lord in the ordinance service worthily. I realize that it's a serious place, and I realize we would do well to be saved, but I fear that many folks think because they have a weakness, because they have a fault, because they have a failure, because they have a shortcoming, that if they come together and try to partake of the Lord's Supper, that they are unworthy and eat and drink damnation to themselves. And we miss out on a real blessing. On a real blessing. Self-examination. Judgment. Decision. Verse 30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Because they have not judged themselves. Because they have not examined themselves. Because they have not taken the time to test themselves. To really do the work that should be done to find out whether or not I am worthy to partake of the Lord's Supper. There is a place, folks, for you and me to do a work on ourselves. There is a place for us to stop long enough to stand aside a little while and look inwardly at my own heart and my own mind to reflect on those things that I perceive. Do I really believe that what God did for me was done out of love? Do I really believe that what Jesus did for me was done out of love? Do I really believe that the only way for this man to be saved is through the blood of Jesus? Do I really believe those things? Do I really embrace those things? Do I accept those things as being absolutely vital to the Christian? If those things are part of the fabric of my thought, in my mind, in my spirit, in my meditation, and I test myself in those areas, then I am in a place, thank God, if I am willing to do that. If I am willing to do that from an honest heart, from a standpoint of being real serious about it, sincere about it, in my own self, if I am willing to do that, but those who would approach it recklessly, carelessly, casually, Without regard to those things, the Apostle Paul says, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Now, whether or not God had pronounced some type of a judgment sentence on their because of disapproval and how they handled the service, I can't say. Or whether it was because they just had uncontrolled appetites, I can't say. But he said, because of this, there's many among you that are weak and sickly and sleep. And it is no doubt the question, no doubt the situation, that if we don't examine ourselves and if we don't actually look upon ourselves and find out where we are in the face of God, we're going to be weak and sickly. We're going to lose our ability to have that strong relationship with the Lord. We're going to lose the ability to have that type of a relationship where I recognize God and put Him in His rightful place. Folks, He is God. He is the number one. He is the Almighty. He is the one that is due glory, praise, honor. And when we put other things above that, such as our fat and fine foods for our feast, before we come together for the Lord's Supper, we're not putting God in His rightful place. I'm not saying anyone here is guilty of that. I'm saying that these folks were guilty of that. These folks were guilty of that. And there was a sentence pronounced upon them. Paul said, I can't commend you in this because you're going about it the wrong way. But let a man examine himself, he's saying now. Look inwardly. Look at your motivations. Look at what causes you to do the things you do. When you come together for your feast, do you come together so you can show how much you have? When you come together, are you willing to share with your brother who has very little? Or you shame him? Does he sit in the corner and feel shamed because he doesn't have? Those are the things, folks, the motivations of the heart. Those are the things that cause God to really stand up and take notice of what's going on around us. We are brothers and sisters together in the Lord, coming together with one common cause, that is to worship Him. And that is to do everything that we can to help one another make it inside of God's heaven. Do we all have different stages of life? Of course we do. We all have different levels of understanding? Of course we do. Different levels of education? Of course. But still there is one God, one Father. There is one Christ who gave Himself and gave everything that could possibly be given so that we could be saved. And that is who we recognize and who we honor when we come together for the Lord's Supper. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Now I want to bring to your attention 3 points here. In verse 29, where it says damnation. Verse 31, where it says if we should not be judged. Verse 32, but when we are judged. Each one of those words is the same Greek word with a different English translation. When we are judged. When a decision is made. Verse 31 seems to really stand out in my mind. If we would judge ourselves, then we would not be judged. I want you to get the importance of that in your mind. If we would judge ourselves, if we would take the time to really discriminate this man, if I would take the time to really look at this man, if I would take the time to really comb through this man and see what my motivations are, why am I doing the things that I do? What is my purpose? What is the reason I respond? What is the reason I react? What is the reason I speak or approach you the way that I do? What is my reason for that? If we would judge ourselves, if we would really judge ourselves, then we wouldn't have to be judged. Amen. If we would actually do the things that we're supposed to do in a self-examination before ourselves, before the Father, Lord, search me. Search me. If I take that mindset before the Lord, search me, Lord. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me. Lord, will you do that for me? So as I judge myself, as I examine myself, as I look over myself, if I do that from an honest standpoint, an honest heart, of really meaning, Lord, I am trying to examine this man. If I would judge myself, then I would escape a lot of God's judgment. Amen. You see, the Lord does it because He loves us. And He does it because He wants us to be with Him in heaven. Verse 32, when we are judged, when there is a decision made about us, we're chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. Thank God. Thank God that He loves us enough that He is willing to judge us when we won't judge ourselves. He's willing to do it not because He wants to chasten us, not because He is just desiring an opportunity to chasten us. He wants us to do it first. He wants us to first judge ourselves. If we'll do that, then it's not necessary for Him to do all that He has to do. But if we won't, thank God He is willing to chasten us, so that we won't be in condemnation with the rest of this world. Think of that, folks. Think of what this world has right now. Think of the events that we just talked about a few minutes ago. Think of the hatred. Think of the bitterness and the anger and the discontent that is in this world in which we live today. If we would judge ourselves and remove those things from ourselves, then the Lord wouldn't have to come by and chasten us and help us to remove those things. You remember the little story I told about one of my bosses one time? Told me I had a little problem making a place on a certain time. It was a little small business. It was closed, and I'd get there after hours sometimes. And he had a little situation where he called me in the office and said, "Mike, I've got a little concern here I need you to fix. This customer's saying you're getting there after hours." Well, my excuse was they're way out in the country. They're way out of the way. I had to break off and go way up there and then turn around and come way back. He said, "You want to fix it? You want me to help you fix it?" You see, I got the message. Well, I'll fix it. I'll take care of it. If we would judge ourselves, then we wouldn't have to have help being judged. You see, if we would judge ourselves. If I would just sit down and say, "You know, that's right. I need to pull up my socks. I need to do better. Because if I don't, someone's going to help me out of love." But I generally find when the chastening of the Lord comes, there is a little level of severity to it. It'd been much better if I'd have done it myself first. Galatians chapter 6. Verses 3 and 4. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Oh, those are some good words to think about there. If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove or test his own work. Here again is this concept, this principle of testing or proving my own situation. Instead of thinking myself to be something, to step back from that and do a little self-examination and see what I really am. The Pharisee and the publican. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for all that I have. I thank you for all that I am. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I'm not as other men are. I'm not like this man over here. And the man over here wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven, but he said, smote his breast and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, which one of these went down justified? The one who said, be merciful to me, a sinner. How did he know that? Self-examination? What was the other one doing? If a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove or test his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. In other words, if I have taken the energy and the effort and all that it takes, folks, and yes, it takes energy and effort and humility to judge myself, if I will do it the right way. Well, we can say, well, how can I even judge myself? Because it says it's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. There is a way to get on my face before the Lord and ask for His help in helping me to see the man that I am and help me to know, Lord, how do I fix these things that need to be addressed in my life? Prove me. Test me. I put myself to the test. It means that I take the measures. I take the initiative. I go before the Lord and say, Lord, help me. Lord, you show me. You help me in these areas. Instead of just saying, I am something. And the Lord has to come by and say, you're not much. Let me show you. Back in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 13. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Examine, prove. Examine, look thoroughly, prove, test. Look at yourself, test yourself, find out whether you're in the faith. Prove yourself, test yourself, try yourself. Sit down sometimes in a quiet place and say, Lord, have I been treating my fellow man the right way? You know what I've had to say sometimes? No, I have not. Lord, I need your help. The answer to that question is no, I have not. So what do I do about it? Go on my way and do nothing? And wait for God to help me? Or do I say, Lord, yeah, I haven't done so well. So I'm asking you, before you have to help me, before you come to me and say, you want me to help you fix this? I'm coming to you and say, Lord, will you please help me fix this? Because I realize that I need help. Old Testament, Lamentations. Chapter 3.
Verse 39. Wherefore doth a living man complain? A man for the punishment of his sins. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. Let us search and try our ways. You see, let us search and try our ways. Wherefore doth a living man complain? A man for the punishment of his sins. If you have life, even though you may have difficulty in life, but if you still have life, there is small cause for complaint. Because whatever situation we may find ourselves in, however great the affliction may be, whatever circumstances may be, as bad as they may be, I still have life. And it is still an opportunity for me to seek God for mercy, to find help. If I were dead, I would not have that opportunity. But as long as I have life, even though sometimes it may be grievous, it may be cumbersome, it may be difficult, I still have life. Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? As long as I have life, folks, I have an opportunity to search and try this man, to make preparation for that afterlife, because there is coming an afterlife. There's coming an eternity when this inner being, the soul, is going to live forever through eternity, either in heaven or in hell. If I have life today, it is a blessing from God. It is an opportunity for me to find a way to draw closer to Him, to seek His face. Test me, try me, examine me, prove me. Help me, Lord, to examine myself. Help me to test myself. Help me to prove myself. Help me to realize if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he just deceives himself. But there is a way to test this man, to try this man. Self-examination. All of these things are so vitally important to us, folks, to test and try ourselves so that when we come to these places where the Lord wants to use us, or we come to these places where we have something such as the Lord's Supper. I've tried this man. I've tested this man. And I have a place now where I can enter into some of these most solemn ceremonies with my Lord. I'm going to be honest with you this morning. When they got up and sang that song, as I listened to the words of that song, it spoke to me. It spoke to me of love and mercy. It spoke to me of one who did everything that could possibly be done so I could make heaven my home. And it spoke to this man saying, do what you need to do. Do what you need to do to make preparation to enjoy the things I have prepared for you. Because I've prepared some things. It spoke to me. Heart of love. God did all those things out of love. And it is so easy for me. It is so easy for me to take those things for granted. It's so easy. Test me, Lord. Try me. Let me examine myself. Let me prove myself. Let me find out here, Lord, am I really serious? Because you were. You were very serious. Help me to be serious. I appreciate your time and attention this morning. Thank you for being here in worship service.
God bless each one. It's my prayer today. You pray for me. I want to make heaven my home.